All right. Well, so we left off. Shalom aleichem. Good morning. We left off. Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Modim. So the Mishnah said that if a person says Modim Mishaskin also. If a person goes ahead and says Modim twice, we go ahead and we silence him. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Kala Omer Shma Shma, Ke Omer Modim. Three lines up from the bottom, Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Whoever says Shma Shma, it's as if a person said modim. Okay, so the inference therefore would be that halacha l'maisa we would silence a person as well. So the Gemara says, you raise a contradiction. If somebody goes ahead and reads Shema and doubles his reading, which would seem to mean reading it twice, the halacha is harizem maguna. This is considered to be something disgusting. So the Gemara says, magunahu dahavi shtuki lo mishatkinonle. So the Gemara says, okay, it's something that's not good. It's something that's not good. It's maguna, but it doesn't sound like we would actually silence the individual. So which one is it? Is it something maguna? Or is it just mishaskin? So the Gemara says, Lo kashya, ha do amar milsa v'tanila, ha do amar psuka v'tanila. So the Gemara says, here's what it depends on. How ultimately you're saying it. If you go ahead and you repeat each word, then what? That's meguna. See what says, Rashi points out, so if you go ahead and you say Shema, Shema, Yisrael, Yisrael, Hashem, Hashem. So Rashi brings down over his last Rashi on the daf, that's what the Gemara calls meguna. That's called disgusting. Now, is that blasphemous? No, because it doesn't look like you're davening to two gods. It just looks like you are treating the Shema with a lack of seriousness. As opposed to what? If you were to go ahead and repeat each phrase. If you were to go ahead and say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and then to go back and say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that sounds like you are davening to two different gods. So when it just looks negative, like when you're repeating each word, that's meguna. Disgusting, don't do it. When it looks like you're praying to two deities, that's mishaskin also. Then we silence him. So the Gemara says, watch this. So the Gemara says, well, 1 second. Maybe in the situation where halacha lemaisa, the person is repeating the particular verse, right? Maybe they just didn't have kavana the first time. So the guy says, Shema Yisrael Shalom Kino Hashem Echad, then repeats it again. So why mishaskino? So maybe he didn't have kavana the first time. There. You know, just move that curtain back so that's right. That guys are not cut off. It's like the Chayrim corner over there. All right.
I want to be there.
Yeah. No. I don't mean close them in. No. I meant move it. Move it behind. Thank you. So the Gemara says, well, 1 second, maybe halacha lemaisa, the only reason that he's repeating it is because he didn't have kavana the first time. So we'll say, watch this line. Amar lei, he responded in top of Lama Dalet, chavrusa klape shma yamiika. This should be a bumper sticker. Chavrusa klape shma yamiika. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu your buddy? Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu your chavrusa? That you get up and you daven to him without kavana? Meaning, how could it be? You're going to enter into a dialogue with God without proper intent. Chavrusa klape shmaya miika. Rashi says, Chavrusa klape shmaya minog shenoig adam mechadero yinog etzal amakom v'lo yizar betilaso. You know, I want to talk with my friend, and I, you know, Rav Tam zecher tzadik livracha said, you know, the worst word in the English language is the worst word. Don't get nervous, right? The worst word in English says Rav Tam is whatchamacallit. He says, what's the pshat? So Rapam Zichasad Levracha said, because if you're saying whatchamacallit, it means that you haven't sufficiently thought through what it is that you need to say. And a person should never speak without knowing exactly what it is that they want to say and how they want to say it. So the Gemara over here is totally blown away by the notion that you would have davened without kavana. Because what does that mean? You approach the Ribono Shel Olam and you don't have requisite kavana? Chavrusa ka b'shmaya mi'ika? I lo kivein daita mi'ikara. So look what he says over here. If a person doesn't have kavana and gets up to Davin, machino lei b'marzavta dinafcha ad demechavin daite. Literally, I would go ahead and I would hit them. Marzavta dinafcha, Rashi says, is kornos, is a blacksmith's hammer. I would hit the person with a blacksmith hammer until they have kavana. Okay, don't try that. But you understand the notion over here, that the Gemara takes it totally as an impossibility that one is going to go ahead and say this phrase a second time because they didn't have kavana. Therefore, the only way a person would be doing it is because out of blasphemy, and therefore, halacha lamaisa meshaskin also, says the Gemara. Ha'omer yivarchucha tovim, hareze derche minos. See, even though, again, the truth is, the Hagos Habach delete this line because it seems to me that it really belongs with the previous Mishnah, because the previous Mishnah was discussing different insertions that a person makes that ultimately, although they appear to be something nice and pious, at the end of the day actually are theologically problematic. So if a person says, "You Yirachucha Tovim, the good ones should bless you," that's a form of heresy, ultimately, because it infers that only the good ones should bless you and the not so good ones should not bless you. But alright, we're not going to get into that now. However, if a person was davening for the Amid and made a mistake, Ya'avor Achar Tachtov, another person should come and take over, V'lo Yehi Sarvan Ba'osa Shah, and a person should not refuse at that moment. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, V'lo Yehi Sarvan Ba'osa Shah, L'fi Shashar Yardin Lefnei Ateva, Kishu Omrim Lo Lech Reid, Tzorech L'Sarev Pam Achas. So we'll see this in the Gemara, but the halacha is that when you are asked to daven for the Amid, a person should first decline. A person should first decline out of a sign of humility, that a person should not jump for the kavod. So the Gemara says, however, if the Shliach Tzibur made a mistake in the middle of a bracha, remember, what are we talking about over here? This specifically, this is Chazar Sashatz. So the Shliach Tzibur has made a mistake in Chazar Sashatz. Everybody's waiting. Says the Mishnah, there are times for humility, and there are times not for humility. This happens to be one of the times that don't become such an unav right now. Right now, the job needs to get done. The gabbai asks you, answer the call. Where do you start from? Right? From the beginning of the bracha in which this first Shliach Tzipor made a mistake. We'll discuss exactly what that means as well. The Gemara goes on. Next case in the Mishnah. If a person goes ahead and is davening for the Amid, see, he should not answer Amen after Birchas Kohanim. So let's say again, he's davening and there is Duchening, he should not answer Amen to the Birchas Kohanim. Mipnei HaToref, because there is a concern that he will get mixed up. So I will say, understand, the Mishnah is always referring to a situation where the Shliach Tzibur is davening ba'peh. Everybody's davening ba'peh. Nobody's davening out of a sitter. So the goal is to keep the Shliach Tzibur focused so he can finish. So if he begins answering Amen to the Duchening, we're concerned he's going to get confused. Ve'im ein sham kohen elohu lo yisa es kapa. This is another interesting halacha. Let's say the person who's davening for the Amid is the only kohen. He should not duchen. However, same idea. Why shouldn't he dochen? Because ultimately we're concerned that he's going to get confused and not be able to resume his chazara after Birchas Kohanim. Vim hafta chosom, shunosi eskapov, chov v'chozul etzilasa. But if he is confident that he can dochen and resume his chazara sashatz, then what? Then rashai. Then he is permitted to do so. Says the Gemara. Ha'over, turn Rabbanon. Ha'over l'vne'atera tzarech l'sarif. A person who goes ahead and asks to daven for the Amid should first refuse. Rashi points out, Yisarev, kisha omrim lo lech, yase atzmo kilo rotze. When they ask him to daven for the Amid, he should make himself like he doesn't want to, kilomar eini kidai, as if to say, I'm not worthy. So he'll say, what does this mean? Is this a game over here that I pronounce? Me? No, not me. Even though I know the guy, Gaba, is going to ask me a second time. The idea is that a person should realize that when they daven for the Amid, that the truth is, they're not worthy. Because to be a Shliach Tzibur for the Klal is a major, major responsibility and undertaking. And to do so, a person should really be exceptionally pious. A person should be very virtuous. So at first, a person should realize that, you know what, in reality, in a vacuum, I'm probably not the right person to do it. The Tzibur wants me to do it, so ultimately I will accede. I'll give in, I'll do it. But a person has to have the first step of realizing that, you know what, I'm not really Roy. That's why, amazingly enough, remember in the Tefillah for the Shliach Tzibur, before Musaf on the Yamim Noraim, right, so when he says, Hinni, and what does he say in there? The Afapi, right? She'eno Roy v'hagum l'kach. And those are, to me, those are some of the strongest words in the entire Yom Tov davening. Because the truth is, it really captures how we feel, even though I'm not fitting for this. I'll do it because the Tzibur needs me. So the Gemara says, However, the teva tzarich l'sarev. If he doesn't refuse, doma l'tavshil she'in bo melach. So look what the Gemara compares him to. He's like food that doesn't have salt. What does that mean? So you could eat it, but it's not really all that good. So if you lack that humility, so although you might have the other traits that make you a good shliach tzibur, you're missing the salt. V'misarev yoseh midai. But if you're too humble and you refuse too much, doma l'tavshil shiktichaso melach, then ultimately you're like a cooked dish that has too much salt. Okay. So what should you do? Too much humility. Ketzaduo says, so what should you do? Pam rishoni yisarif. The first time you're asked, you should refuse. You should refuse. Shnia mahavhev. The second time mahavhev, Rashi says, kilomar mazmin atzmo kimo nin ar lamod. So mahavhev means you begin to move around in your seat a little bit, right? You begin to get yourself ready. And shlishes poshet esraglov viyoreit. And the third time you are asked is when you actually get up and go down to daven. Tan rabbana. Shlosha ruban kosho miyuton yofa. There are three things where too much of them is not good, but a little bit, the right amount, is good. The Elohein, and these are the three things. Seor, melach, v'sarvonos. An interesting combination, right? Yeast, salt, and refusal. Each of these things, if you have in moderation, is very good and palatable. But each of these things, if you have too much of it, ruins whatever it is that you're trying to make. Amar Rav Huna. So I will say, now we come along and we go back to the statement of the Mishnah that says that halacha lemaisa, if the shliach tzibur made a mistake and someone else is now going to take over, so the shaila becomes, where does the person take over from? So Rav Huna says, everything depends where you made your mistake. If you made your mistake in the first three brachos, then what? Chos l'rosh. Then halacha l'maisa, when the person takes over, they take over at the beginning of the first three. Or in other words, just to tell you, Rav Huna's model is going to be that Shemona Esrei is comprised of three units. The first three brachos, the middle 13 brachos, and the last three brachos. And whichever part you make a mistake in, the second shliach tzibur who comes in will take over at the beginning of the unit in which the mistake was made. So therefore, tov b'shalosh rishonos, if you made your mistake in the first three, chos l'rosh, you go back to the beginning of that unit. Be'em tsoyos, if you made your mistake in the middle brachos, chos l'atachonin, you go back to the first bracha of the middle unit of atachonin la'adam das. Be'achronos, if you made your mistake in the last unit of three, chozer la'avoda, you go back to Ritzei. Ravasi on the other hand says, emtsoyos ein lahem seder. On the other hand says Ravasi, literally translated, the middle ones don't have a seder. Rashi says ein lahem seder vim dileg bracha achas va'achakach nisker ba. Omra af shalobim koma. So Rav Asi goes so far to say that halacha lemaisa, yes, the first three have an order, the last three have an order, but the middle 13 don't really have all that much of an order. Therefore, technically speaking, according to Rav Asi, just even as an aside, if you were to omit one of the brachos and then realize that you omitted it, you could insert it wherever you are. So for argument's sake, if you're up to Shema Kolinu and you realize that you forgot Baruch Aleinu, you could insert it there and just simply go on. Using that logic, Rav Asi would say that if the shliach tzibur made a mistake in the middle 13, the takeover shliach tzibur, the replacement of shliach tzibur would simply pick up from exactly wherever the mistake was made. So the Gemara says, "Masiv Rav Sheshes." So Rav Sheshes brings a contradiction. Mehechon uchozer, from where does he continue? Right. So now this is the replacement of shliach tzibur. Metchilas habracha shetaaze tiyuf de Rav Huna. So the Brisa seems to say that where does the replacement Shliach Tzibur take over from? From the place where the current Shliach Tzibur actually made his mistake. This seems to be a refutation to Rav Huna. Because remember, according to Rav Huna, we look at Shimon Esrei as units. And whenever the Shliach Tzibur made a mistake in the unit, the replacement Shliach Tzibur takes over from the beginning of that particular unit. Amenachar Rav Huna, emtsoyos kulhu chada birchosaninu. So Rav Huna says, no, the middle brachos are all considered to be one unit. So when he says, when the Braisa says, Metchilas habracha shetaba, according to Rav Huna, the way to read that Braisa is, what does it mean, Metchilas habracha? It means from the beginning of that unit of brachos. The olam al yishal adam tzrachov lo b'shalosh rishonos v'lo b'shalosh achronos ela b'emtsoyos. So Rabbi Yehuda said a person should not ask for their needs, should not petition God for their needs, not in the first three brachos, not in the last three brachos, but rather only in the middle brachos. The Amar Rabbi Chanina, because Rabbi Chanina said, Rishonos Dome Le'evet Shemesaler Shevet Livnei Rabo. Because Rabbi Chanina says, Shmon Esrei was set up by Anshek and Eses HaGidola to have a particular model. What's the model? The first three brachos we know what we call Shevach, our praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's comparable to a servant who is organizing his praise before his master. What does it mean? He's praising his master. And Tsoyos, Dome Le'evet Shemavakish Pras Meirabo. The middle brachos are considered, which are all the bakashas, all the requests, are like a servant ultimately who's organizing his request before his Rebbe, before his master. Achronos, Dome Le'evet Shekiba Pras Meirabo, V'niftar V'holichlo. And the last three brachos, which we call hodah, thanksgiving, is like an eved who received what he needed from his master, and ultimately is giving thanks to his master. So also what's amazing, by the way, about this, and that is halacha lemaisa. We don't ask for our needs in the first and last three brachos, only in the middle brachos. Now, here also, I just want to point out, this actually yields, just very quickly, a very interesting idea, because, and this is very apropos, this is in Yon and the Yoma, because during the Yom Noram, we do something very interesting in the first and last three. What do? We do add in bakashos. Zochreinu l'chayim melech chafetz v'chayim. We say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember us for life. That's a request. Some say it's not really a request, it's a statement. So what is that doing in the first three? So the Torah brings down an amazing yisod. The Torah brings down that when we say that you can't ask, it gives two answers. Either number one, what it means when you can't ask for your request in the first three and last three, that's personal requests. But national requests, Klal Yisrael requests, you are permitted to make in the first three and last three. And that's why if you look at all those bakashos, they are all phrased in the plural. I don't say Zochreini Lechayim. We say Zochreinu. Second possibility, says the Torah, which seems to be an overarching theme, is Yamim Noraim. All bets are off, right? A Yamim Noram, we pull out all the stops. We do whatever we possibly can do in order to secure a year of life. And if that means breaking with Shmona Esrei tradition, so be it. But the more conventional answer is the first one. That when we say you can't ask for needs, it's personal needs, but national needs may be petitioned for. Tan Rabbanan, we'll say one more tangent on this, which is quite amazing. Also the analogy over here, which is the first three is the Eved praising his master. Then bakashos, and then thanksgiving. So what's amazing, that the thanksgiving comes immediately after we have already asked for our requests, even before what? Even before they've been granted. But it shows you that for the Jew, so the most important mahalit, the most important mindset in life is confidence. A person has to believe that some way, somehow, things are going to all work out. Maybe not exactly the way I want it to, maybe not exactly the time, but I have to believe. So that's why immediately after asking my needs, I'm already thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you, God, for coming through. Thank you, God, for giving me everything, because ultimately I believe that some way, somehow, it's all going to come together. Tan Rabbanan, Masa B'Talmud Echad Shor L'fnei HaTeva B'fnei Rabbi Eliezer. There was once a Talmud who was davening for the Amid in front of Rabbi Eliezer, and the guy was just draying around. He was going too long. Now again, I will say, it's not like the previous cases, where on yesterday's daf, you know, he was adding in additional stuff. He was just davening slowly. So Amar lo Talmidav. So his student said to him, to Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbeinu, kaman arkon huzeh, look at this guy, an arkon is lashon orech, right? Look how long-winded this guy is. So, Omer Lohem, klum marich yosrei Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rabbi Eliezer says, I don't understand what you guys are complaining about. Is there anyone who daven longer than Moshe Rabbeinu? After all, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Dechsiv bei es arboim hayom ves arboim alayla. Moshe Rabbeinu davened 40 days and 40 nights. So Rabbi Eliezer says, look, if Shachris is going to take an extra 10 minutes, take it easy, right? Moshe Rabbeinu was up on the mountain for 40 days, 40 nights. It did. Sure it did. It's not, that's not that 40. Right, he's talking about the 40 that worked. So, okay. Says, there was another Talmud who davened for the Amid, and what happened? And the guy was rushing. Right, this is amazing. Times don't change so much. Right, it's hard to find that good balance. So this Talmud was rushing too much. So I said to Rabbi Eliezer, what's the guy's rush? Right, where's the fire? Where is he running? Is there anyone who davened who was a faster shliach tzibur than Moshe Rabbeinu? Because what did Moshe say? Dichsiv kel na refa na la. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu davened for his sister from Miriam when she was afflicted with tzaras. He just utters this simple short tefillah. Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Chista, kol mevakesh rachmim al chaveiro, ein tzarich lahaskir shol. So Moshe, this is quite fascinating. When someone davened for their friend, They don't have to go ahead and even insert their name. If you're davening for someone, you don't have to even say their name. Shne emar, kel no refon Allah, velo kamid kar shema de Miriam. That ultimately Moshe Rabbeinu davens for Miriam and he doesn't mention her name. Therefore the Gemara says, you see from here, that when you daven for someone for a refuah shlem, you don't have to insert their name. Now, Bosai, the halachic opinions point out with this that this might not be the best raya, because the reason why Moshe didn't, Rabbeinu didn't need to speak out Miriam's name was why? Because Miriam was right there. Remember the episode in Chumash, Parashat Chukas, where Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam are all standing together. So according to many opinions, the reason he didn't have to mention her name was because she was there. But had she not been there, he would have mentioned her name. Rav Adi Yosef, Shlita has a tshuva, where somebody asked him, what do I do if I know I have to daven for a particular chola, but I don't know their name? Right? Either I don't know their Hebrew name, or maybe I'm not Yerusha, meaning I know that, you know, Reuven's aunt needs a refuah shalema, but I don't know their name. So Rav Adi gives such a answer, which only like a Svadish Apostle would say without analyzing all of it. He says, what is the big deal? He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows who you're referring to. So don't worry about it. He says, okay, why do we say the name? It's very interesting. He says, we say the name in order to over our own kavana, because our tefillah becomes more meaningful when I know that I'm davening for Reuven ben Leah. That's not for God. What? God's going to say, Reuven, I don't know. Got 3 million Reuvens. Who is silver davening for him? No. God knows. I do it to be ma'orer my kavanah. But should I not know the name, ultimately, says Rav Adi Yosef, really based on this Gemara, you could daven even just if having in mind the particular person. Tana Rabbanan, Ila Bracha Shadam Shoch Rabban. These are the brachos that a person goes ahead and bows down when he davens. Then Ba'avos Tchila V'Sof, in the beginning of the bracha, beginning and end of Avos, Bahodot Tchila V'Sof, beginning and end of Modim, Bahodot Tchila V'Sof, V'imba L'Shuach B'Sof Kol Bracha U'Bracha, U'B'Tchilas Kol Bracha U'Bracha, Melamdin also Shlo Yishcha. So Bosa Halacha L'Maisa Ansh Shekinetz Sagdola instituted that we only bow at these particular times. So beginning of Avos, which is the beginning of the bracha, and end of Avos, which is Magin Avram, beginning of Hodah, which is Modim, and end of Hodah, which is right before Sim Shalom, and that's it. And even if a person wants to bow more, we teach them not to do so. Amar b'shum ben Pazi, Amar b'shum ben Lev, b'shum bar Kafra, Head Yod Kimosha Amarnu. When we say that you only bow four times, that's a regular person. Kohen Gadol b'sof kol bracha u'bracha. A Kohen Gadol, however, bows at the end of every bracha. V'hamelech tchilas kol bracha u'bracha v'sof kol bracha u'bracha. So also, this is pretty amazing. So a Kohen Gadol bows at the end of every bracha, and the king bows at the beginning and at the end of every single bracha. So we'll say, see what's happening over here? That halacha lemaisa, what's the whole yisod of bowing? The whole yisod of bowing is to endow us with a sense of humility. The greater you are in life, the more you must reinforce your humility. So for us, we're regular people. So we bow down four times, that's good. The Kohen Gadol, he's got to bow down at the end of every single bracha because he's prone to gaifa. He's the Kohen Gadol. The Melech, who is the most powerful and important man in the nation, he's got to bow down beginning of every bracha and end of every bracha in order to ensure that he doesn't become a Baal Gaiva. So Rabbi Yitzchok says, I heard a little bit differently. Head Yod Kimosha Amarnu. A regular person, like we said before, bow four times. Kohen Gadol Tchilas Kol Bracha U'Bracha. Kohen Gadol bows down at the beginning of every bracha. Hamelech, listen to this. Kevan Shekara Shuv Eino Zokef. The king, forget about bowing, about up and down, what happens? The moment he bows down at the beginning of Avos, guess what? He stays that way throughout Shemona Tzubasa, and that's how the Rambam paskins. The Rambam says that the Melech davens in a state of kriya, in a state of being bent over throughout the entire Shemona Tzubasa, the same way that the Melech, when he becomes king, what's the first order of business? He has to write two Sifrei Torah, right? One that he keeps in his throne room, and one that he takes with him in order to endow him with an ongoing sense of humility. So to every single time he davens in a bent over fashion. I'm sorry? Even whole time. Shene emar, vahi kechalos shlomo leispalel, kam melifnei Hashem, mizbeach Hashem mechro al birkov. So the Navi says over here that when Shlomo would go ahead and finish davening, he would get up from before the Mizbeach from bowing on his knees. So therefore the inference from there is what? That what was the position of Shlomo HaMelech when he was davening? He was bowing. He was bowing the entire time. Tana Rabbanan. So we'll say, now that the Gemara spoke about bowing, we're going to spend a little bit of time on that. Kida alapayim. Now, what the Gemara is going to talk about is, the Gemara often seeks out different forms of bowing. And different, even though they all translate as bowing, they're actually all different physical positions. So kida, for example, alapayim. Kida refers to bowing down on one's face. Shine emar, vatikod batsheva apayim oretz. Kriya, al birkayim. What we call korea, also called bowing, that's bowing on your knees. Shine emar, mikroa al birkav. Hishtachava, what's that? Zu pishut yadayim v'raglayim. That probably we'd call today like prostration, where a person totally lays themselves flat out. Shine emar, hava nava ani v'imcha v'achecha lishtachava uslecha artso. Amar refkir b'reid revuna, chazina lehu la'abayi v'rava, dematzlu atzluye. So this is very interesting. So now Rav Chiya Barei de Rav Huna says, I saw Abaye and Rava to have a matzlu atzluye. What does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. So Rashi points out it's the last wide line in Rashi, left-hand column. Dematzlu atzluye kishenoflin alpneim. He's actually referring to here, over here, to Tachanun. That's when Abaye and Rava would say Tachanun, what would they do? Ein poshtin yedeim v'ragleim. So we'll say, interestingly enough, originally the way Tachanun actually happened was pishut yedeim v'ragleim, would actually be prostration. Because the goal would then be that you were davening in every position. Right? So you daven standing up, you daven standing down, and you daven with prostration. So comes along Rav Chiya Barei de Rav Huna, and says, you know what, I saw Abaye and Rava that when they would go ahead and daven Tachron, they wouldn't do Pisha Yardayim V'Raglayim. Rather, what would they do? They would simply bow on their sides, which is, interestingly enough, exactly what we do. I mean, we bow down straight on our arms. The idea is that we could accomplish this form of bowing without actually going all the way down. Okay, so the Gemara says, Tani Chada. If one goes ahead and bows down by hodah, this is praiseworthy. So the Gemara says, V'tanya idach, another brisa says, Hareze maguna. It's disgusting. So which one is it? Lo kashya, ha betchila, ha lebasof. One is referring to the beginning, one is referring to the end. So we'll say, the way the Gemara seems to say over here is that in the beginning of modim, you should bow down. At the end of modim, you shouldn't bow down. And if you bow down at the end of modim, that's maguna, that's disgusting. So the Gemara says, really? Rava, kara behodah tchila basof. Rava bowed down in modim in the beginning and in the end. Amr de Rabbanan, amai ka'avad hachi. Amai ka'avad mar hachi. So the Rabbanan said to Rava, why are you doing this? So what does Rava respond? Amr lehu, chazina l'rav Nachman dekara, v'chazina l'rav Sheshes dekara'avad hachi. So, interestingly enough, so Rava responded very simply, this is what I saw my Rebbeim do, right? I saw Rav Nachman do this, I saw Rav Sheshes do this, v'hatanya, but we learned, ha'koreya ba'hodah harei zemaguna, but we learned that he who bows down during hodah, this is disgusting. So he answered, ha'hu harahahi ba'hodah shebahalel. No. When we say that bowing down during Hodah is Meguna, is disgusting, that's not Hodah in Shmona Esrei. Rather, what is that? That's Hodah in Hallel. What's Hodah in Hallel, Rabosai? Hodula Hashem Ki Tov Ki Li Olam Chazdo. We don't bow down during that particular Hodah. V'hatanya, but one second, we learned in a Braisa, HaKorea B'Hodah, U'B'Hodah Shel Hallel, Harezim Meguna. But we have another Braisa that says, that's what? Yes, if you bow down during Hodah, and Hodah of Hallel, that's disgusting. See here, the Braisa explicitly says, Hodah Shel Hallel, which means what? That the first Hodah must be referring to something else. Ki Tanya Hahi B'Hodah De Birkas HaMazon. Oh, what's that referring to? That's referring to No Delecha, right? The second paragraph of benching, where one should not do bowing. So we'll say, here's the interesting idea. What's so bad about bowing? If it's a form of humility, we would think it's good. So, you know, the interesting part about humility is, don't try to be overly humble either, right? Meaning, we're humble in the ways that Chazal told us to be humble. But the moment we try to exercise additional humility in ways that we were not commanded to do, interestingly enough, is the moment that humility could actually begin to look a little bit more like arrogance. So therefore, we bow when we're commanded to bow, we don't bow when we're not. Says the Mishnah, Hamispalo v'tav. Very, very interesting Mishnah. If someone is davening and made a mistake in their davening, Simon Ra. It's a bad sign. It's a bad sign. Vim shliach tzibor hu. And if he's a shliach tzibor and he made a mistake, Simon Ra l'shulchav. it's a bad omen for those who sent him. So it's a bad omen for the tzibor. Because ultimately, the shliach tzibor is the representative of the tzibor. Anu alav Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Listen to how amazing this is. The sibar Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, shei mispalel ala cholim, when he would daven for sick people, va'omer, he would say, zechai v'zemeis. After finishing davening for them, he would say, this one's going to live and this one's going to die. Amru lo minayin ata yodea. So I said to him, how do you know this? Amr Lahem, he said to them, im shkura tfilasi befi, if the tefillah is organized in my mouth, meaning if the tefillah flows well, yodea ani shumakubal, I know it's been accepted. Ve'im lav, yodea ani shehu maturav. And if not, meaning if it doesn't flow out of my mouth, well, Rashi says, im shkura, im sdura tfilasi befi, if my tefillah is organized in my mouth, bimerutza, and the words flow out, ve'eni nichshol, and I don't stumble over them, utchinasi nova'as milibi alpi, komashani chafetz laharich betachnunim, and this is amazing, and what I feel in my heart flows out from my mouth. I'm able to articulate what it is that I'm feeling in my heart, and the words flow without any kind of stumbling. I know that that is a tefillah that's been accepted, and therefore the cholel will recover. As opposed to if I stumble over my words, and the tefillah has not been accepted, and the cholel will not recover. So the Gemara says, ahayo. So the Gemara says like this. So interestingly enough, the first statement in the Mishnah says that if someone made a mistake, it's a simin ra. So the Gemara says, well, what part of tefillah are you referring to? Amar Rav Chiya ba'amar Rav Safra mishum chad debei Rebbe ba'avos. It means in the tefillah of avos. Right? In the opening bracha of Shemona Esrei. Ika demas nila abraiso. Some understand this, or some put this entire discussion on the braiso. Mesvalel tzarech sheyichavin eslibo b'kulam. When you daven Shemona Esrei, you're supposed to have kavana throughout the entire tefillah. Vim eino yochel lechavin b'kulam, but if you can't have kavana for the entire tefillah, yechavin eslibo ba'achos. You should at least have kavana in one bracha. Am Reb Chiya Amar Rav Safra, Mishum Chad Debei Rebbe, Ba'avos. So I will say, again, and this is Halacha L'maisa, that if a person, for whatever reason, struggles, well, we all struggle with Kavana, but a person struggles with having Kavana during Shemona Esrei, even if a person can't maintain the proper level of Kavana throughout the entire Shemona Esrei, one must at least try to have Kavana during the opening Bracha of Avos. Amru Alav Rabbi Chanina, Menahani Mili. So where do we know this concept? Where does Rabbi Hanina's concept come from? Even if we don't take it to the extreme that Rabbi Hanina had it, how do we know this idea that one could see the efficiency of their tefillah, or the effectiveness of their tefillah, through how the words flow out of their mouth? The Amar Kra, Bore Niv Sfasayim, Shalom Shalom L'Rachok V'L'Karov Amar Hashem, Amar Hashem V'Raposiv. So here the Gemara is quoting from the Pasuk in Yeshaya. Urifasiv. So with the Gemara is making a little bit of a play on words. Borinus Sasayim literally means that God has created the utterances of the lips. Peace, peace, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the one who is far, one who is close, and God will heal them. So the Gemara is making a little bit of a play on words. Not Borinus Vasayim, but Borinus Vasayim. That ultimately, one who has appropriate utterances of words, strong utterances of words, meaning a person whose tefillos issue forth from his lips without interruption, without obstacles, ultimately, that is a sign for Raposiv, that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu will heal. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kol HaNeviim. Now the Gemara goes a little bit of a tangent for just a moment, you'll see why. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kol HaNeviim, Kulan lo nisnavu, Kulan lo nisnavu, Ela lemasi bitol tam tchacham, Ula osa pragmatia tam tchacham, Ula mahana tam tchacham in the chasub. So Rabbi Yochanan says like this, that when the prophets prophesied all of their beautiful blessings, the blessings were set aside for someone who marries off his daughter to a Talmud Chacham, someone who helps, osa pragmatia Talmud Chacham, someone who invests the money of a Talmud Chacham wisely in order to go ahead and generate profits for them, and somebody who goes ahead and allows a Talmud Chacham to go ahead and benefit from his property. So meaning the idea is that the Nevi'im spoke about this idea, all of the wondrous rewards are reserved for people who help Talmidei Chachamim. Aval Talmidei Chachamim Atzman, Ayn lo ra'asa elokim zulasecha, ya'asa lemechakilo. So yes, there's incredible reward for those who help Talmidei Chachamim. But for the Talmid Chacham himself, no eye has seen what is waiting for him with the exception of God. In other words, those who help Talmidei Chacham will be rewarded. But even greater than those who help Talmidei Chacham are who? Are the Talmidei Chachamim themselves, who have reward waiting for them that man can't even fathom. V'amar Rabbi Chebar, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol ha-neviim lo nisnaf u'ela limos ha-mashiach. All of the prophets, when they speak about the beautiful blessing that waits for us in the future, they're all referring to the Messianic era. Avali olam haba, ayin lo ra'ase elokim zulasecha. But for olam haba, meaning, now again, when we talk about olam haba over here, the assumption is that what that refers to is the afterlife, where you go when you die, ayin lo ra'ase elokim zulasecha. That, no one can even imagine the incredible good that's waiting for us. Upliga de Shmuel. But this argues on Shmuel. This statement argues on Shmuel. How so? The Amar Shmuel ain bein olam hazeh limos hamashiach ella shibud malchus bilvad. Shmuel's position, Rabbi Osai, is that there is no great distinction between now and the Messianic era, except what? Except the Jewish people will be a free, autonomous nation, independent of any kind of international pressure. Now that is miraculous in and of itself, right? That the nations of the world will respect Eretz Yisrael. And will respect, and will ultimately respect HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but everything else in the world pretty much remains the same. Shene Emar, ki lo yechdal evyon mikeref ha'aretz. The indigent or the poor will never cease to exist from the world, meaning even in the Messianic era, ultimately there'll be poverty. So we'll say this obviously is part of a much larger dispute in terms of what the Moslem Mashiach is actually going to look like. Is it Olam Kiminhago Noeg? Is it just going to be a regular world with a couple of significant differences, like no Shibud Malchus, respect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or will it be a dramatically different world? So it's a subject of major dispute. V'amr b'chibar amma, amr b'yokunam. So all the Nevi'im, with all of their prophecies of greatness in the future, they prophesize for Bali Tshuva. For those who go ahead and do Tshuva, there's great reward that awaits them. Aval tzadikim gimurim. But when it comes to tzadikim gimurim, the incredibly righteous, ayin lo ra'ase elokim zulasecha. No one has even seen or could even fathom the reward that is waiting for them. Upliga de Rabbi Avo, and this argues on Rabbi Avo, because where is Rabbi Avo? Say, don't Rabbi Avo. Makom shebali tshuva omdin, tzadikim gimurim einan omdin. Because ultimately Rabbi Avo says that the place where bali tshuva stand, tzadikim gimurim can never stand. So according to Rabbi Avo, bali tshuva are actually greater than tzadikim gimurim, because bali tshuva have tasted sin, but yet, come on, so we'll say, this also is a fundamental dispute. Who's greater? The one who tasted sin and did tshuva, or the one who never tasted sin? And now you'll see why this is included over here, because he quotes the same pasuk, shalom, shalom, l'rachok l'karov. So the Gemara says, so Rabbi Aval points out, who stated first in the pasuk? Who gets the first divine shalom? L'rachok b'resha v'hadra l'karov. So who gets the first shalom? The rachok, the one who was far and now came back, i.e. the Baal Tshuva, and the karov, the one who never left, i.e. the Tzadik Gomer, he only gets the second divine shalom. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lecha, my Rachok. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, Rabbi Avo, you're misunderstanding the Pasuk. What's the Rachok? Shahaya Rachok Midvar Aveira Me'ikara. That he was far from sin the entire time. I.e. what? He never sinned to begin with. He's the Tzadik Gomer. Umay Karov, and who is the Karov? Shahaya Karov Lidvar Aveira. That ultimately he was very close to sin, meaning he was a sinner and now repented. Finis Rachek Mimeno. Hashta, Ma'ayin Lo Rasa. So interesting, let's watch this. What is this reward? So even though we know that the reward, depending on which version of this Gemara you want to say, for the great people, for the great tzaddikim, there's incredible reward in the future. And an eye has never seen it. But just out of curiosity, does anyone know what it is? So look what the Gemara answers. My ayin lo rasa, am Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, ze yayin hamishumar be'enof misheshis imei bereshis. You know what it is, amazingly enough? It's a glass of wine. Right, it's you think you're a 10-year-old aged whatever it is Merlot. So this is 5,700 and 62-year-old. Halavai should be tomorrow, right? So this is wine that's been aged in its grapes from Sheishis Meberashis. So we'll say, obviously this is not literal. This concept of wine, the Marsha brings down Yain Yisamach Levav Enosh. That wine is something that makes the heart very happy. So the Gemara is using wine as a metaphor to say that whatever this reward is going to be, it's going to give a person such a state of elation and simcha. Rabbi Shlomo bar Nachmani Amar, Ze Eden. the reward is Eden. You get to go to Eden. Shiloshalta ba'ayin kalberia, because no one has ever seen Eden. So the Gemara says, really? Shema tomer Adam Rishon heichan haya began, where Adam Rishon was in the Gan, right? And you would think that what the Shema tomer who Gan who Eden, that the Gan and Eden are the same thing. Talmud Lomar. Therefore, the Torah says, v'nahar yotze me Eden lahashkos es hagan Gan lochud. The Eden Lachud. So the Gemara says the Gan and Eden are two different places. Adam was in the Gan. Eden is something that Kadosh Baruch Hu has set aside for the tzaddikim for the future. Tana Rabbanon. Masa Shechala ben Osh Rabbi Gamliel. There was an episode Rabbi Gamliel's son was sick. Shagar Shnei Tamidi Chacham Itzu Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa Levakish Shav Rachamim. They sent, so he sent two Tamidi Chacham to Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa to have Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa daven for his son. Kevan Shira Osam Ola La'aliyah U'bikish La Rachamim. So when Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa saw them coming, he went upstairs to the attic and he davened Rabbi Gamliel's son. He must have known that's why they were coming. B'yiridasa Amar Lahem L'chu Shechaltzaso Chama. So when he came down from the attic, Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa said to the two messengers, go back home, because Rabbi Gamliel's son's fever broke. Meaning he's going to be okay. Amrullah v'chi Navi ato? Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa, are you a Navi? Amr lahen lo Navi Anochi v'lo Ben Navi Anochi. I'm not a prophet, nor am I the son of a prophet. Elo, kach mikublani. This is my Mesorah. Im shkura tfilasi b'fi yodani shemekubal, v'im lavi yodani shehu meturath. Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa said, but I have a Mesorah. If the tefillah flows out of my mouth without interruption, without any kind of stumbling, I know the tefillah has been accepted. If I stumble over the words, I know it's not accepted. I davened for the kid. The tefillah came out beautifully. Ultimately, he's going to have a refuah shleima. Yashua v'kasa v'kivna osa shah. What these two Talmidei Chacham did was something very interesting. They recorded the exact moment, the exact time, when Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa told them that the fever had broken. And what happened? Kishavah Yitzhar B'Gamliel Amar Lehem Ha'avodah Lo Chasartem V'lo Hosartem Elakach Hoya Maisa Ba'os Asha Chatzah Suchama. And amazingly enough, when they got back and spoke to Rabbi Gamliel, it happened to be that the child's fever broke at the exact time that Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa told them the fever had broken. So V'sha'alanu Mayim Lishtos. And at that moment when Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa had told the messengers that the fever had broken, that's the first moment the child had asked for a drink of water. B'shuv Maisa Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa Shahalach Limo Torah Itza Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa went to learn Torah from Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. V'chala B'nosh Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai's son fell ill. Amar lo Chanina B'ni Bikesh Alav Rachamim V'yichya. So Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, remember, who is the Nasi, who is the head of the Jewish people, says to Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa, please daven for my son in order that he should live. Himiach Rosh Ben Birkov Ubikesh alav rachamim v'chaya. Literally, Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa, it literally means he put his head between his knees. So often, this lashon could be a lashon of prostration. It could be a lashon of almost like almost curling up into oneself in an effort to go ahead and have incredible kavana. The point is, he launches into tefillah and he davens for rachamim v'chaya, and it works. And it worked. It worked, right? The son of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai was healed. Amr Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Il Molei Hitiach Ben Zakkai Es Rosha Ben Birkav Kolyam Kulo Lo Hoya Mashkichim Alav. So Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai said, you know what? I could put my head between my knees the whole day. I could dive in the entire day. And you know what? It would not be able to affect the same results as Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa. So say, listen to this. So Mrs. Yochanan Ben Zakkai hears this. Amr Lo Ishto V'chi Chanina Gadol Mimcha. Tell me, does that mean Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa is greater than you, Nabosai? Remember, to be the wife of the Nasi is a lot of Mesiras Nefesh. So that's why I said, look, buddy, I'm willing to invest a lot of time. You don't have to come home for dinner. I'll take care of the kids. But you better be the greatest person in Klal Yisrael. And if you're not the greatest person in Klal Yisrael, what's going on over here? So his wife, what do you mean, Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa? Remember, you could even see how Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai refers to Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa, refers to him as Bini, which means that they were not peers. They were not on the same standing. So his wife is puzzled by this. How does Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa have a power that you don't? So look what he answers. Amar Lo, Lav, no. Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa is not greater than me. So what's the difference? Elo, Hu dome ke'eved lifnei ha'melech, va'ani dome ke'sar lifnei ha'melech. So listen to this beautiful answer. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai says, you know, I have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu like a minister has a relationship with a king. We're tight because we have to deal with matters of the klal together. But you know what the amazing part of a minister is? A minister is not always with the king. A minister comes in and out, as opposed to an eved who what? Who is constantly in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yochanan ben Zakkai says, my standing might be greater, but my access and my ability to influence the Ribono Shel Olam is not the same as the Eved who is always by the side of the king. Which also makes a lot of sense as to why Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Lo came Avdi Moshe. The greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu was not that he was a sar, not that he was a great officer in the court of the king, but that he was an Eved who had constant access to the Ribono Shel Olam. So let's finish off. So we'll say we saw this earlier. A person should only daven in a home or in a place that has windows, right? We learned this before. In order for a person to be able to have kavana, if they have a lapse in their personal kavana, they could look outside, get a glimpse of the heavens, and re-inspire themselves. And we learned this from Daniel. That Daniel would daven in his attic, opposite windows that face the Yerushalayim. Amar Rav Kahana, Chotzif alai man dematli babiksa. So Rav Kahana said, Chotzif alai, it's very bothersome to me, someone who has the chutzpah to daven in a valley. Now, biksa literally means valley, what it means is an open space. So apparently Rav Kahana felt that when you daven in an open space, your mind wanders, you can't have proper kavana. But Amar Rav Kahana, Chotzif alai man deparish chatae. So Rav Kahana says, and it's very bothersome to me, it's a very chutzpahdik, one who goes ahead and publicizes his sins. Shene'emar, Asr Ashrei Nisui Pesha Kisui Chata'a. So also, a person who goes ahead and publicizes his sins, ultimately shows a certain lack of remorse. When a person sins, we should be embarrassed about our chatam. Yes, we're human, we have frailties, but if we publicize them, it almost seems like a certain type of pride in it. So therefore, Rav Kahana said, it's bothersome to me, someone who is so chutzpahdik, to go and publicize his sins, and that's what Devar HaMelech says, Ashrei, praiseworthy is the person, Nisui Pesha V'Kisui Chata'a, who's able not to go ahead and gloss over, but who's able to cover up his sins, meaning he goes ahead and he commits averos, but he does tshuva in a humble, non-assuming, non-public fashion between himself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hadron Aloch Ein Omdin.